You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Like you believe it. Hallelujah. Woo. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have to share with you that what happens with me is that I hear from the Lord continuously, and I keep a journal with notes and nuggets that God drops with me. And then I put them into a journal. And as I am asked to speak, I go back and look at what God has been dropping with me and sharing with me daily. So I have journals all around my house with notes and with messages from God. And I thought I had targeted a message for today when Pastor Paul asked me if I would speak. And to show you how good God is, I was rocked last Sunday. Flowers I love, so many people know Judy. Know I love flowers. My daughters, birth daughters, know I love flowers. Diane gave me the most beautiful purple orchid one Sunday, with just bleeding with color. Yes. And so I was rocked by a bunch of flowers, cards, but I was rocked by a painting that was given to me kind of just, Pastor Verna, I wanted to share this with you. God has been speaking to me, and just read the note that I have with the painting. So I just put it down with everything else. And late Sunday night, I was opening them, and I looked at the painting, and I read the note. And God started a download in me that washed and pushed aside what I thought God wanted me to bring. And you know, God is like that. He can have me totally prepared, and then he will drop a download, and he will outline it so clearly that I know. I am so used to him changing the agenda. And we can't be so fixed that we are driven in what we have prepared and not notice when God says, know this. This is what I have. The young lady, I've seen her, but never just stopped to talk with her and share conversations. But God said, just sit there with your pen and paper, and Verna, let me speak to you, and you take the notes. And I'm going to introduce that lady to you this morning. I was panicked because I couldn't get in touch with her. And I knew Elizabeth knew her very well. And so I set out to make sure Elizabeth would get me her number. Because I don't like to use anything when I'm using directly from a person unless I check with them. And so if Teresa Buck, thank you, would come forward.
Thank you.
just stand right there. The Lord would say, my daughter, with your paintbrush and with the assorted paints that you are currently painting a series that you shared with my daughter and I was able to implant in her and infuse in her a message for this time and this hour. So my daughter, I am infusing with you this morning, saith the Lord, a whole new direction, a whole new energy, a whole new fiber that I am pulling together to reshape, to reform, and to reconstruct your whole life. I am going to paint the world through your hands, but I'm going to visit you in your spirit, where when your hands move, my spirit will do the painting. I am the master painter, says the Lord, and you are my child. And so now I infuse you with a newness, with a greater strength, with a knowing that you know that it's me that's doing the painting. And I will bring you before painters that will say it was you that painted the hanging in the museum. I see you, saith the Lord, with your own showing, because I will hang the paintings for you. I have saved you for this time with the flowers that I have given you is to open the next season in this year. Half of the year will be over May 31st. But I'm bringing in June a clarity and a sparkling of colors that you will sit and you will be my masterpiece, says the Lord. Wow. You see what God is doing, what he is going to do, and what he already has done. There's a boldness in me today to serve notice on every spirit that is not working of God. It is time for God's agenda to be at the head of our agenda. No longer will we allow any other agenda to be transparent for a second. What I have encountered in the last year, I would never have thought that I would have walked this journey. But what it taught me and is teaching me, that I will not yield to any demonic spirit that comes to interrupt what God has called me to do. Yes. So I alert you this morning. You are moving into June with floodlights. Jesus is the light of the world. We cannot be in darkness when we are in Jesus. He is the light, and I will not buckle down to any darkness that comes my way to slow me down, to stop me. And that's why I have served notice. I will complete and fulfill the destiny that God has planned for me. Now, I invite you this morning to say, I am going to fulfill what God has called me to do. So let's turn to the scripture, Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Let everybody read that. I think I just did the New English translation. But let's just read that. It will bloom profusely. They rejoice with and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. Read it. From barren to blessing, it is time to bloom. It is time to bloom. Can we put the flowers up? Yellow poppies. That was the flower, the painting I was given. Yellows, poppies. The first thing when I said to someone about poppies, and I was telling them what God had downloaded to me about poppies, and they said, and don't forget, poppies are used for stimulation and drugs. But God didn't download that to me. It's in the natural encyclopedia and all of the other man-written information. What God downloaded to me was that poppies was the most resilient flower. Now, what I'm doing is giving you the biblical background. Not what man has written in the research, as my daughter, with her doctorate in English, she always said, Mom, but this was researched, and this is what this means. I said, I'm talking about what God has delivered to me. So you take your doctorate and enjoy it, because I have paid for it. But I'm paid of God to get his revelation and then to go into the research around what the Bible says. That's my emphasis, biblically. So it says it's the most resilient flowers. Teresa, do you know what you were doing when you painted that? I don't know if you studied the flowers, but I went on a deep research of the poppy. Resilient. Guess what? The poppy flower can survive and grow and give off the most beautiful colors with little or no fertilizer, with a depleted soil of nutrients. The most useless soil produces the most beautiful flower. What about you this morning? Where are you planted? Have you noticed your soil? Do you know what kind of soil you are planted in? When I hear people complaining all the time, and believe me, I get there. Why me, God? When, God, when? Why, God, why? We all are familiar with those terms. But I told God this time going around, in my wilderness, there's no why. There is no poor me. There is no why me. Why did they talk about me? Why did they lie on me? Why is it that they don't like me? I could care less. Because God has made me at the age, in 2 weeks I'll be 83. Wow. I have not lived 83 years to end up complaining and crying. I should have learned something. 83 years and still crying? I told a sister 2 days ago, I said, what I'm going through, every time I think about crying, I say, thank you, Jesus. Let me know what I'm supposed to learn in this situation. Not poor me. What am I supposed to learn? The children of Israel went around 40 years on a trip they could have made in 14 days. Are you still going around when you should have been where you were going? I don't want to be the children of Israel walking around and around, and some of them say, I think we've been this way. I saw that last time. You see this little bush here? It was blooming when I was here before. It's still blooming. The same bush. Oh, we went over these rocks last time. I stumped my toe last time. Are you going to stump it again? You should have seen them the first time. And purpose. So what I have been through 83 years from the corporate world to the cotton fields of Georgia through the segregated South, through coming here, going to college, working in corporate America, moving in a community, the first black to move there, and everything from burning a cross to you name it was tried to get us out. But I'm still in the same town. I was determined not to let racism run me out. And you think after 83 years, I'm gonna bow down to what I am facing now. I want to know what I'm supposed to learn. I want to experience what I'm experiencing, where I can grow from it, where I can move on. So it's time for us as adults in the Lord. There's more teaching. There's more opportunity to study, to get degrees, all kind of classes. And what's for? Where when you roll up on something, notice something, we bury our head and say, why me? I had a brother to tell me in a church 20 years ago, I said, one thing really bothers me, brother, is that the saints of God talk about each other. He said, this is your training ground. I wish I could tell him now, boy, that training served me well, because I can look at you now and say, keep talking. Keep slandering, whatever you want to do. I don't know what it is that you are dealing with today, but those flowers there said there is more than hope, because they grow in soil that is depleted of nutrients. What would happen if you didn't have anything to eat and you were expected to produce? If you didn't have any water, the rain didn't come, and you were expected to give off beautiful colors. That flower is used to recognize and to give honor to soldiers that have fallen on the field. What beautiful meaning could they have than to honor those that went down fighting for freedom? And yet we go down, not even fighting. When are we going to say, not that I'm supposed to do this, when are we going to get up and start doing it? So I'm going to share with you this morning some things for you to examine. Where are you going to bloom? What you need to do, what you need to be aware of, and how you process this process to bloom, even if you don't have any nutrients. A beautiful portrait that I hung immediately when I got home because the colors were so starkened. The green, the leaves, the stem was so green. There was life, even out of depleted soil. My father would say, my mother would name Ollie, you know, I got to put more fertilizer down this year, because I didn't get a chance to do all of the liming on the crop where I was going to plant this season. The soil is somewhat depleted. He wanted a bumper crop. When you get a bale of cotton to the acre, that's good. You pay all your bills, you have money to live off of. And that year, he put extra fertilizer down. And my mother got in the car and drove around the boundaries of our land and the farm. Guess what? We got 2 acres, 2 bales an acre. One is good. We got two. Double portion. See, we don't expect supernatural happenings in our life. I'm looking for a supernatural right now.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not going out crying. I'm not going out complaining. Remember I told you all when I came here, I say nothing can happen here that you're going to run me away. Mm-hmm. So you might as well get used to Pastor Verna.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I've been hurt in churches. I've been everything. But that's just part of walking with God. So what? But I have to learn through that process. But there's nothing you can do now. Nobody can do anything to make me leave.
Thank you, Lord.
Try it. I invite you to try it. Because I'm grounded in who? Who sent me here? When are you going to say that? When are you going to say it and mean it? So, let's look at, I think I got 4 of them that I want you to take note of where you can bloom and know where you are blooming.
Yes, Lord.
Don't cry anymore about the soil isn't what you would want it to be. My father added nutrients. You might not be where you can add nutrients to your depleted soil. You may be where you cannot get the nutrients to put down. So are you just going to say, I won't bloom this year?
No, the Lord's going to do it.
Say, I know I'm going to bloom. Because if God can have a poppy produce color and a vibrant plant with little or no nutrients, the most depleted land, it is so resilient that it can bloom any way
What are you going to do this morning?
You're going to say, I'm not looking at my surroundings. I'm not looking at what happened yesterday. That's what I said when I entered the process of the challenge that I have right now in my life. I could just curl up and say, forget it, pull the shades down and go away and just say, life has been good. But I'm checking out right now. No, I didn't. I said, this is for me to learn something from. I am experiencing this for a reason. And I want everything that God has for me to get through this process. So number one is know who you are in Christ. That's number one. If you don't know who you are in Christ, people can make you think you are nobody. I had two experiences this year that really rocked me because I thought I was making headway with the situation. And it said, sunk. I said, now what do I do with that? Because I know who I am in Christ. I know who is my deliverer, who give me my provisions. Like in 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old passes away, and the new comes. So I'm operating in the new because I know who I am in Christ. And the old has no room in my life. I will not react like I did before. I will not get depressed to the point where I'm giving up like I did before. See, I've never left the church unless God released me. I stayed over about 9 months when I wanted to go so bad. I could taste it. I just wanted to say, get it over. God said, stay till I release you. I got the biggest blessing in my life by staying until he said, now you can go. But if I had gone by my flesh and what I was experiencing, I would say, later for you. I'm out of here. What's that saying? Later, crocodile, or whatever it is. After all, I'll see you later after all, crocodile. But see, I've always been where I could listen to God and then I could obey God. So when you know who you are in Christ, things will shake you. They will rattle you. You will be uncomfortable, but you will step back, step up, and look over. That's what God gave me January of this year. Verna, step back. Move back from the situation. Then step up and look over. And when I do that, I see things differently. I don't see in the natural, I see in the spiritual. Number two, we must operate in God's power. Amen. You don't have any power if God's power is not flowing through you. If you don't know him and his word and how to bring in remembrance the word of God. It says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. How can we be witnesses and we are complaining? No one wants to hear you. It's easy to talk, but it's harder to live it. I'm a personal experience. I can talk it, I can sing it, but when it comes to living it, That's when you need the power of God in your life. Operating in his power. He said you will receive power. So what did you do when you received it? Did you just put it in your back pocket and forgot it was there? Everything I rely on God for, I acknowledge him. He said, lean not to your own understanding, Verna. See, I put my little name in all those scriptures. But Verna, ask me, acknowledge me. Verna, and if you do, I'll direct you. I'll show you where to go, what to do, when to do it. All you have to do is acknowledge me. Don't try to figure it out yourself. He said not to lean to your own understanding. That's right. But ask him. Acknowledge him. So operating in his power. Power means the ability. God-given ability in our life will enable us to do what he wants us to do. His ability, not ours. I step away and get angry, get disgusted, want to give up. But what I see on the horizon, starting in June, God showed me a burst of light, like the sun is so bright that light is everywhere. And that's him everywhere. He is the light of the world. The light that is coming in June is going to light your path out of that situation. The light is going to bring that child home that you've been praying for. That light is going to bring healing that you can only give God the credit for. You can't say this physician at Mass General is brilliant. He performed the most difficult operation. But because of God's light, there are going to be healings that we can only give the credit to God. Yes. Man cannot take it because man isn't God. But the light that is coming in June, it was like just a big burst of sun. So you probably haven't worked in the fields. I did. And I would stand up and the sun would be just scorching. It would be so hot. And I would push my head back. Lenore know what I'm talking about. And it was sun everywhere. And my father would say, Verna, I know it's hot, but this is our land. What we profit off this is going to the family. You're going to get an education out of this land. You have a home out of this land. And I'm going to be able to send my 6 kids to college out of this land. And somehow I would feel a breeze. It wouldn't be so hot anymore. Because I zeroed in on the results. He educated 6 kids off of that land. And my great-grandfather started with 50 acres, and every year when he finished his crops, he bought an additional parcel of land. Kept increasing it, so from 50 acres to hundreds of acres. From a slave owner. I'm not talking about giving money and say, go here, you can start here. You start with nothing. A depleted soil. A soil that has no nutrients. But because of my mother's faithfulness with prayer and living for God, and I just want to inject here, and paying her tithes, yes. When Daddy sat down, I would see him and Mama at the table. And this was the profit after all of the bills were paid. And Daddy took off from the beginning the 10%. And my mother would say, but Hiram, God has been so good. Let's increase our giving, our blessings. Let's see who we can bless in the community. See, I grew up looking for people I could bless. I didn't just walk to church and say, here are my tithes and a little offering. But God couldn't show me a person in the congregation that needed support. He shows you, you just don't answer. You don't do anything. But I wake up in the morning and say, like Joyce Miles, God, who can I bless today? She lives for God showing her who can she bless today. That's, we didn't do it just by tithes is what we owe. Offerings are what we sow. You just paying what God told you in his word, 10%. I tell my two daughters, that's nothing. Don't come telling me, Mama, I tithe. Oh, yeah, you paid the debt. But do you want to be blessed? And my mother gave so much, I questioned one. I said, it's going to be enough for us. And I have a daughter that said, Mama, you just give it all away. I said, but look how God is increasing. You all went to school and didn't have to borrow a dime. Went, got both of their PhD. They never, we paid for years, but they got scholarships and fellowships and money. They were paid to go to school. Tell me if that's not a return. We're talking about really living for God, not just tipping God. Will you tip him? Where you going to get a tip? One thing I thank God for. My husband, when he was going off to play golf and the kids and I was going to church, I had the rule of the checkbook. He did not. He said, whatever God tells you to give, give it. He never once questioned what I was given. He never said, Vern, I saw the checkbook. What are you doing? He was so agreeable and knew God from his mother giving. She was a housekeeper and she gave. Had 7 kids when her husband died. She gave from her little $10 a week tithes. And we have the nerve to say, I can't tithe. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. Number 3 is operate like God. I love this because that's what keep me sane. That's what keep the joy in me. That's what keep me going. What would God do in this situation? How would God react in this situation? When you turn your cheek, you are acting like God. But when you brow up and want to fight back and talk back, you're not representing God. You're representing Verna. And whoever your name is. But operate like God. Romans 10 and 6 says the righteousness of faith speaks in a peculiar manner. It is peculiar. His righteousness of faith. Instead of saying things are, I hope I can, start saying, I know God will. Hope, hope, hope. I know God will. I know God is taking me through this. And I already start journaling what I am learning through it, where I can help others. God gave me about 9 months ago, showed me a little vision of a big picture and 6 cups. And he said, Verna, I want to pour through you into 6 people. You poured into Natalie and Lenore. I want you to pour into these 6 people. Fill their cup because I will be the nutrients that is filling the cup. You will just be pouring it. And I've been working with six for almost a year now. And I really don't have any junk. It's the word, or you out. I don't have time to baby you. You should be the names God gave me. You are not a baby. You can hold a cup and you can drink from it. He didn't show me any bottles. So that means he didn't expect me to mentor babies. And so therefore, I am pouring into them. All of us who have walked with God, who know him, should be pouring into someone. We just sit and get fatter and fatter. And we don't share, we don't train, we don't teach. Although we are not God, we can look like him, and we can act like him. The best compliment I ever got was when my daughter was named CEO of the Baltimore Public Schools, and the Newsweek magazine and what's that, not Harper Bazaar, that other magazine she was in, Forbes, a big article in there about how did you get to this place? Who is your mentor? Who have you looked to for examples? I couldn't wait to read it. She said, my mother.
Hallelujah.
My mother has laid the example. My mother never asked us to do anything that she wasn't willing to do. My baby girl said, Mom, what would it take for me to leave my bed unmade until I get back from school? I don't have time every morning to make my bed. I said, when you see my bed left unmade, you can leave yours unmade for the rest of your life. And we would be in the car, backing out of the garage, and she would say, wait, Mama, I forgot my paper. I didn't know what she was running back upstairs for. She was checking to see if I had made my bed. But she came out with some kind of book or something. This is what she told me later, I was checking. I wanted to catch you so bad. I said, anything you see me doing, you can do. And when my daughter said that in a Forbes magazine article, my mother, he said, well, who is your mother? She said, she's my mother and a mother. And she described how she got where she is, watching me, mimicking who I was. She didn't talk about God. She lived it before us. I didn't hear her talking about people. She went on to list in Forbes magazine. My brother called and said, I didn't know Sonia was in Forbes. Why didn't you tell me? I said, she's in so many magazines, I forget to tell you now. He said, but Forbes. But what I am saying is operate like God, and you won't have to check yourself and say, oh, what did I tell her I wouldn't do? Oh, what? Oh, I got to make sure she doesn't catch me in a lie. When you are operating like God, which is living his word, which is obeying his word, you don't have to check yourself. Because the kids would be the first one to check you. Let me tell you, I wanted to catch my mother, but I couldn't. And I was determined then, my kids won't catch me because I'm going to live like I'm supposed to. So operate like God. Let him look like him, act like him, and then you will be like him. Number four is worship God in truth and spirit. A time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in truth and spirit. John 4:23. Do we really, this morning when Jeremy was singing, don't you agree, look like Jeremy has turned over a new leaf? I know he will say, oh no, I've been like that. But for me, I see a newness in Jeremy. I hear a new sound. So I don't know anybody else, but I know what I have. And so he makes it personal. He pulls you into a personal encounter with God. And do you know, worshiping him in the spirit, which is him in his word, the truth, that's it. Oh. We have to create an atmosphere.
I need to give you this. I'm sorry.
Okay. That is. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, thank you. So if you don't create an atmosphere, sometimes I can be so heavy. And I say, I got to enter into God's presence. And see, life have a way of weighting us down that the heaviness will overtake us if we don't know how to worship God in truth and in spirit. Remember what his word says. And enter into his presence with thanksgiving. When you encounter God, a personal relationship and encounter with him, you really kind of forget about your little troubles. I was talking to Lenore and I was telling her what I'm going through and what have you. You know, she has a degree in counseling now, and so I will call. And then I catch myself, I said, but God. So you can start complaining, but recognize you're creating an atmosphere. Do you want what atmosphere you want to build and grow around you? I've said this 100 times if I said it once. You can't outwitness Natalie. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if someone died before you left home. You had an accident on your way here. And when you got here, it was drenching rain. And when you start, but Natalie, this is what happened. Yes, but the word says. All of the years that I have been knowing Natalie and working with her, not once did she sit and caress me in my little episode. I wanted to say one time, don't you ever be down? Yes. But she know a God that is greater than any situation that I'm going through. So that's what she chooses to emphasize. That's what she chooses to have the atmosphere around her. Not listening to me talk about all that is wrong. But what is God in your situation, Verna? Are you going to let him rule, or are you going to rule with your crying and complaining? And being around her for a while now, I feel guilty when I start complaining. And I'm definitely not going to complain to her. But I feel guilty when I'm complaining, even to my sister on the phone. I think Natalie is listening somewhere. So if we are limiting God by not allowing him to come into your presence, and you create an atmosphere where you can remind yourself who God is, what his promises are, you are cheating yourself. I cheated myself, because it's very easy to complain. I could be the master complainer. I should have a crown with complaining. But I decide to take it off and never wear it again. I'd rather wear the promises of God. So if we would shatter the box that people have created for us to operate in, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. And that's what I like about Pastor Paul. Kids can run up and down and praise God and wave flags. You can get up here and shout and move and speak in tongues. You've never heard him say, quiet down, quiet down. You have the freedom to worship God in spirit and truth. And that's what I like about not building a box. Some people will say, well, you're not supposed to operate like that. Lenore and I know, down south, we say, oh, girl, we got loose, didn't we, today? And I was at a church in Woburn and said, oh, no, can't go that far. Got to tone it down. You're toning God down. Your healing could be coming through. Yeah. Yeah. You're being free. And experiencing God. Amen. Out of the box. Amen. Your healing could be right there. Amen. So when you are crying instead of praising him, your healing knocks on your door and it has to keep going because you are not welcoming it in. Amen. You're doing everything but recognizing God move and inviting it in your life and getting what he wants you to get. You walk in here for something and you walk out without it. Ask yourself, what part have you played in that? Amen. That you keep him from operating freely, but did you put him in a box? And so I want to close today with Isaiah 35:10. You can put that up, but I'll read it. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow of singing will be free. I know that's the English translation. And we ransom, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. Let it flee away today. Do not entertain anything but joy and singing, rejoicing of who God is, what he can do, and what his word promises us he will do. Expect healings this year. We are one half of this year. And when I look at back in January, when God says the best of times, the worst of times. All of us, I think, have experienced some things that are worst. I know I have. But I've also experienced things that are wonderful. My great niece gave birth to a little 7-pound, 7-ounce boy, which she was late marrying and had a child. Lenore and Natalie prayed her through every step. See, they are married to my family. They can't help themselves. Every time somebody called when she was in the hospital, please tell Natalie and Lenore where they can pray. See, when you have somebody in your life that knows God and will not allow you just to complain, your complaining is real in terms of what you went through. I'm number one can tell you about that. But I chose not to sit down and stop in the valley of shadow of death. I chose to walk through the valley of shadow of death. Because if you stop and sit down, you can die right there. Who wants that? I want to live every day God has given me. I'm 83, and I tell my grandkids, I have decided to live to 95, and then if I decide to go further, I'll stay to 100. And what I'm going to do is live by God's word, his commandments, and what he has ordered, that I can do everything he's called me to do. See, I don't think of retirement. I retired from a job. And I thank God because I got a good pension, good health benefits. And now I don't have to look for an offering. You never give me an offering. I got my check coming, but I got that. When I was 40 years old, I got a prophecy from a prophet in Michigan. He had never seen me, and he said, God is going to retire you early. At 55, you will come out and have full retirement. And wherever you go, you'll never have to depend on an offering to buy their airplane ticket to get back home. Because your check will be deposited every month in a bank. I just looked at him. I said, I'm not retiring that early. I got 10 more years. I need my Social Security. God sent a plan that gave me 7 years upfront cash of Social Security that I could bank and draw interest off of. And then I end up getting 2 years severance pay and was hired back to consult. Wow. Which I was paid twice. Consulting. Full benefits. But I heard from God, if you give me your time, I retire you early. You'll have your income, but you must do my work. So don't promise God something, then when you get it, go back on it. That's like lying to God. I really didn't want to retire that early, but God made it clear that plan was so good, the best one, the first one Polaroid ever gave, was the best one in industry that year. And I was saying, I can't help but do that. They're going to hire me back as a consultant. I can work when I want to work, make what I want to make, and not ever have to look for an offering. And it's not bad to look for an offering because God sent missionaries here, and I bless all of them. Because I've been blessed not to need an offering. And so what I'm saying is, come, let God out of the box. Let's stretch ourselves and look at his word, believe it, and act like God, live like God, and we can be the recipients of what God has promised us. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.